If you're a student in New Jersey, chances are pretty good that you go to a school where more than 90% of the students are the same race as you.
There have been a number of studies. The main one, which comes out of UCLA now, lists New Jersey among the most segregated schools in the country.
This is NJ Spotlight founder and longtime New Jersey education reporter John Mooney.
Students are going almost exclusively in this state are going to school with other students who look like them.
This is not because of a state policy of segregation. It's because of complicated socioeconomic factors that determine just where people live. The thing is, it's not like New Jersey hasn't tried to even things out. Over the years, New Jersey has sent more and more state money to poorer districts, which historically serve students of color. And it's one of the only states whose constitution explicitly bans this kind of de facto segregation. So why, after all these efforts, are New Jersey schools still so segregated? And why could a new court case change all of that? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. John recently covered oral arguments in the case, Latino Action Network versus the State of New Jersey, which was announced in May of 2018. Give me a little bit of the background of this case. Who were the plaintiffs?
The main plaintiffs on this, and the lead one, is Latino Action Network, also the NAACP's New Jersey chapter. A number of families and individual students as well are named in what is a class action case.
In what's expected to be a long legal battle, a new coalition of civil rights groups, including parents and children, is suing the state over what they call de facto segregation in New Jersey's public and charter schools.
New Jersey has been complicit in the creation and persistence of school segregation because it requires that students attend public schools in the municipalities in which they live.
And they were well aware, having seen state's long history of segregated schools, that this was a problem that was not getting solved.
This segregation comes from a long history of discrimination, from exclusionary zoning, which has created neighborhoods that are isolated by race, and by class, poverty.
You know, it got to the point where, as many cases have in New Jersey, that it was time to go to the courts.
Data supports that students perform significantly better in integrated schools. African American, Latino, and students living at or below the poverty line achieve higher test scores in integrated schools.
What are they alleging exactly?
They're seeking a statewide remedy. This is not individual districts. And they're alleging that the state, in its rules that require students to attend schools in their home communities, is limiting any kind of desegregation.
To change this, the lawsuit is seeking to invalidate two laws, one requiring students attend school in the town where they live, and the other requiring charter schools give admission preference to kids in their home districts.
They're saying you break down those borders and students can move around. And that, I think, is a compelling argument that hasn't been used before.
Doesn't every state make you go to school where you live, basically?
Yeah, I mean, what's different about New Jersey is we have so many communities and so many school districts, close to 600 of them, many of them small, that restrict really the diversity that this suit is seeking. You know, certainly you're going to have predominantly white communities and predominantly black communities. But if you have larger district that draws from multiple communities, you have a significantly better chance of diversifying those school settings.
So this is the first big statewide case about segregation. What's happened on the local level?
New Jersey has a long history of dealing with, racial segregation in schools, but largely along local grounds. Almost entirely along local grounds, never on a statewide basis. But there were court cases in Plainfield, in Morristown, Montclair, at least a half dozen. Englewood is a big case. In fact, one of the interesting things about Englewood is one of the lead lawyers for the plaintiffs in this, former Supreme Court Justice Gary Stein, wrote the Englewood decision for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I'm Gary Stein. I'm a retired justice of the New Jersey Supreme Court.
So he's a plaintiff in this most recent case, and he wrote a decision on school desegregation?
Yeah, in Englewood, in an individual community. So he has a long history, and it's why he was enlisted and is leading the effort, because he knows it as well as anybody.
We've learned from social science research that black and Latino children, even those from poor families, do far better in school when they attend schools that are racially and socioeconomically diverse.
So earlier this month, a New Jersey court held oral arguments in the case. Tell me about those arguments. What happened?
You may be seated.
There had been discussions between the plaintiff and the state, some settlement discussions that went on for several months that did not resolve. And so these are opening arguments in what could be a long trial where the state, represented by Assistant Attorney General Melissa Schaefer, argued for the case to get dismissed.
The plaintiff's theory in advancing this lawsuit and the manner in which they have pled their claims is so defective that the amended complaint should be dismissed.
And the state felt that the Superior Court Judge Mary Jacobson could dismiss the case. The plaintiff's argument, coming from their lead attorney, Larry Lustberg, was that she should come up with a decision that a summary judgment short of trial.
It's only the commissioner who has the power and the authority and the obligation to remedy and to prevent a segregation of the sort that is the basis of our complaint.
Nobody is disputing that the state schools are segregated. The numbers are, you know, this is one of those cases where both sides agree on the numbers and agree on the facts. And there did not need to be further deliberation on pointing the liability. In either case, Judge Jacobson decided,
and I'm going to authorize discovery by the parties,
you know, that this case is not so easy to solve and is not going to get solved on a Friday in the first hearing.
So this thing is probably just going to move forward.
You know, if the two sides can't get together, we will go to trial.
When we come back,
these are issues that are so much bigger than just schools.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with NJ Spotlight founder and education reporter John Mooney about a New Jersey court case that could radically change the racial makeup of schools across the state. So there's a long history in New Jersey to, you know, attempts at integrating schools and also dealing with inequality more generally. And a major part of that history is another court case called Abbott v. Burke. What happened in that case?
Yeah, I mean, that is an epic case and really one of the first major school equity cases in the country on a state level, certainly. And that started before I was writing about education, and that's a long time, trust me, in the 70s and 80s in earnest, where, again, a group of, in this case, it was a class action case, a group of students led by, I think his name is Eric Abbott, and who came from Camden, who filed suit against the state for failing to provide a thorough and efficient education for students in specifically 30 districts that are predominantly urban and predominantly non-white.
Right. And the kind of the point of that case was that these were poorer communities, and because of that, these school districts were simply seeing less funding,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They did not have the tax base to provide a thorough and efficient education. And the state was accused of violating its own constitution, which requires that. And so it was basically seeking funding for these districts, additional funding, and even funding over and above what may be happening in suburban districts, largely because there's some greater needs in these urban districts, and it takes more to educate and provide that same opportunity. And so they fought, and in the 80s and into the 90s, large sums of money were ordered to go to these districts. Camden certainly is a predominant one, but Newark and Patterson and Vineland, you know, throughout the state. And it did a lot of good in terms of providing programs to these districts, but there's lots of, you know, there's still some inequities out there.
So the Abbott case may have evened out the funding a little bit, but it didn't address this underlying issue of there's so many districts in New Jersey that people are moving to more homogeneous communities and they still end up being kind of segregated, right?
Yeah, it somewhat purposefully did not go into the issue of race. I think the plaintiffs in that decided this was not going to be a desegregation case. This was going to be a financial equity case, and that they were going to be able to get enough funding that these schools, albeit predominantly, you know, non-white, these schools would be offering as good or better programs than their suburban peers. And so race was sort of always left out of it and not even mentioned that much in decisions. In a lot of ways, it was, you know, the elephant in the room that wasn't getting discussed. And that's why this case is so interesting, where it really brings it full circle on all the issues that are affecting these schools.
What do you think is the significance of this case? You said it could be a really significant case for the state. Why? What do you think could be the outcome?
Yeah, I mean, there is the potential that the court rules in favor of the plaintiffs. And if they rule that the state is liable and needs to knock down the barriers and even then gets to the issue of remedy and what that, you know, what is that remedy? Is it regionalizing schools? Is it busing kids around? Is it creating countywide? That's really going to affect virtually every community in the state. Now, whether she or other judges, and I expect this will get appealed and further discussed, whether they go that hard or they sort of seek out a best faith effort and keep an eye on it and sort of force changes more slowly, I think that is the open question. I think there's a general consensus that this is going to go on for a long time. So I have a feeling this is one of those cases that goes 5 to 10 years. And the cases that did get settled, the one I mentioned in Englewood that Justice Stein wrote about, that was a 20-year discussion.
Why do you think this problem of inequality in schools, why do you think this problem has been so hard to solve over the years?
Yeah, and I think it will continue to be. There's so many different factors that go into the performance of a school and even the performance of a student and the opportunities. And you know, we can devote a whole show to talking about socioeconomic factors.
Because we have housing segregation as a result of exclusionary zoning ordinances and long-standing policies of both the state and federal government, it's clear that if children live in segregated communities, they're going to attend segregated schools.
You're really dealing with inequities in our entire society, and the schools have become the hot point where all these battles are played out, and kids' lives and fates are at risk. And so, you know, it's certainly a place that should be discussing this, but these are issues that are so much bigger than just schools.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
John Mooney is founder and education reporter for NJ Spotlight. You can go to njspotlight.com to see an interactive map that shows how segregated each of the state's school districts is. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. How is this issue played out in your community? Let me know on Twitter @ Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.